بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Continuing to talk about the case of Qadr, the sixth pillar of Iman. Actually, this pillar needs more details, more discussion. Although we're not supposed to go so deep in the case of Qadr, except for the cases that really Muslims having a problem or problems with it. Tonight we're going to talk about the situation for a Muslim with the Qadr, with the tragedy side of the Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in His holy book, الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. He told us how to deal with the tragedies of Qadr. But when you look into the life among Muslims, how they deal with Qadr, you'll find that they can be divided into four types. First type is Muslims who is having displeasure. They don't accept Qadr. They get sick of Qadr. They get mad. They get angry. Like what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about those ladies, when they lose some of their relatives, they start to cut their clothes, hit their cheeks, which is called an-na'iha. When niyaha, to loud the voice with a lot of actions showing displeasure of Qadr. And this is a major sin, kabira. Some Muslims, when they deal with Qadr, with tragedies, they don't think that Qadr, since it is part of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, we are supposed to accept it. Since it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can use it only in the side of tragedies, as we said, not in the side of disbelieving or disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this case, those people who reject Qadr, even by words, some people say, if I did not drive this road, I wouldn't have the accident. This is incorrect, because Qadr is there, and it's already written long time ago that he will drive this road and he will have an accident. So if in here will not work, and is not allowed, and not accepted. When we receive any of these cases, tragedies of Qadr, the first type of people, they will reject it. They will be not accepting the Qadr, do not like it. And this, as we said, this is a major sin, which is not supposed to be done by a Muslim. The second type of Muslims towards Qadr, those people who have patience when they receive tragedies, losing money, losing children, losing health, whatever. So they have patience. Of course, he feels the feeling that he has been hurt by Qadr. But since Qadr is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he takes it with patience. That's why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us how to deal with that after the ayah. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa khlufli khayran minha. And to say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And that really reminds us of a story. Subhanallah. Our mother, Umm Salama, Umm Salama is one of the wives of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Before, she was widowed with her first husband Abu Salama. When she missed that man, when her husband Abu Salama died, she remembered the hadith of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, which should be said when tragedy or tragedies happen. اللهم أجرني في مصيبتي واخلف لي خيرا منها إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون اللهم أجرني في مصيبتي واخلف لي خيرا منها. So she said, before she says this dua, she said, who is going to be better than Abu Salama? واخلف لي خيرا منها means give me a better one than I missed. So she said, who is better than Abu Salama? Then she said, I said it, because Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم told us to do this, so I did it upon the orders of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. So she said, instead of Abu Salama, Allah gave me Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم as his husband. So this dua, for those people who want to be patient, which is the second tide of Muslims towards the Qadr, or the actions of Qadr, towards the Qadr. The third tide, those people who are satisfied with Qadr. Those people, they do not only have patience, but also they have satisfaction of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided for them. So when they lose a child or a money or anything, they remember that the one who did this to them is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the owner of all of these. And the story of Urwa ibn Zubayr, brother of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, son of Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhuma, one day he had some kind of sickness in his leg. That sickness, the doctors in that time said that he must cut his leg, otherwise the disease will come to the whole body. So they said they cut the whole leg from the knee. So he agreed. So they said, you have to drink some alcohol, khamr, in order to make you, يعني, do not feel the suffering of that time. There is no, يعني, there is a sow to sow the boon. Is that the case of they give him injection and khalas and he will feel nothing? Are these machines and other things? No. He said, no way. I will never drink alcohol. I will keep my mind remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and my tongue remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But wait for me until I do my salah. When I am in the tashahud, nafilah of course, one of the two rak'ahs. When I am in tajahud, I will give you my leg, do whatever you want to do with it. So he did the two rak'ahs, and when he sat down for tajahud, he made his leg out and they cut it. This is not the case now. He went out of consciousness. When he woke up later on, they told him that one of his four sons is killed by his camel. How many tragedies now we have? Two major tragedies. He lost one of his legs, he lost one of his sons. So what did he do? Did he get angry? Astaghfirullah. Did he have patience? Yes, not only patience, but also satisfaction. How did we know? The way he said it, he said, Ya Allah, thank you. You gave me four legs, two legs and two hands, of course. You took one, you left me three. You gave me four sons. You took one, you left me three. Thank you for all. Thank you for what you have taken. Thank you for what you have left for me. He knew that's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, being satisfied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important when we remember that what we got, money or children, whatever we have in this life, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gave it to us. Just imagine if someone come to you and he say, please keep this 1,000 riyal with you for some time and come later on and take it from you. And when you have the money, you feel it's tasty. 1 month later, the owner of the money will come to you, please give me the money. How will you feel? Well, this guy is pretty bad. Why is he taking the money back? Why didn't he leave it with me? Eshar. This is money. Why are you so angry? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa lillahi al-mathal al-a'la gave you the children, gave you the money, gave you the health, gave you this. If he took one of them, all of them, why are you angry? You should accept it. Because it's all for Allah. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ Every grace on you. Every grace. When we say every, we mean every. Every grace on your life, your health, your eyes, your ears, your children, your money, whatever you have in your life, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he takes back some of them, or one of them, why you are angry? We should be patient, plus we should be satisfied. That's the third type of Muslims' actions towards the Qadr. The fourth one, which is the best, of course. And that nobody can do it, except those good people like you, inshallah. That's to thank Allah for the tragedy. Say what? Thank Allah for the tragedy? Yes. Thank Allah for the tragedies. A person loses his son in an accident. He thanks Allah for that. Loses his money in share market maybe. He loses his money. He thanks Allah for that. He loses his car in an accident. He thanks Allah for that. How come? How is this? It's a big case. It's a big case because those true mu'min, true believers, they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He does to him, is good. Remember the story of Musa alayhi salam with Al-Khadr in Surah Al-Kahf. When they met the child, Al-Khadr killed him. Al-Khadr killed the child. Why is he killing this child? What's the reason? He's a child, he didn't do anything. So Musa was so angry and said, why you killed him? He forgot that he gave him a promise not to ask him about anything. Musa gave Al-Khadr a promise in order to follow him, not to ask him any question. But when he saw him killing the child, he couldn't stop it, he forgot. And he said, why you killed him? In the end of the story, he said that Allah, Al-Khadr said, that Allah told him to kill the child because if this child will grow up, he will be so bad to his parents. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give his parents a better child than he. Subhanallah. Now think of it. When a tragedy happened to one of us, by losing one of his children, as an example, those good believers, true believers, will understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did the best for them. Because maybe this child will be so bad when he is grown up. Maybe this child will make us busy with him and forget what we are supposed to do in our deen, in our da'wah, in our life, and so on. So don't see that what Allah does is no good. Astaghfirullah. But what Allah does subhanahu wa ta'ala for us is the best. Better than what we do for ourselves. Maybe we want to be rich. We love to be. We want. We try. But Allah makes us poor. This is a tragedy, isn't it? It is. But Allah knows that poor for us is better. Hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is hadith Qudsi, that means he is narrating this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي مَنْ لَا يَسْزِحُ لَهُ إِلَّا الْفَقْرِ وَلَوْ أَغْنَيْتُهُ لَطَغَى. The meaning of that is that Allah is saying subhanahu wa ta'ala in this hadith, some of my slaves will be only good if he is poor, and if he is rich, he will be so bad. كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَنْ رَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. Some people, when they were poor, they were so good Muslims, mashallah, they pray in the masjid and they do this and do that. But when they became rich, life changed now. He became attending these meetings with alcohol, drinks, he's attending these high level hotels, and he's meeting these high people with all of these sins, maybe shirk, maybe kufr, they are doing just because he's rich now. He's no more a poor guy. We have to put in mind that some Muslims, some people, when he become rich, he become bad. We say, no, if I become rich, I will, mashallah, I'll make a lot of sadaqah and this and this, or be a good guy. You cannot guarantee this. I cannot guarantee this. No one of us can guarantee this. Take the story which is mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah about that man who was with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was praying every salah with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid. He was always in the masjid, most of his time in the masjid, until they called him the masjid pigeon. He never leaves the masjid. That man, Allah mentioned his story in the Holy Quran. Nevertheless, about the name, because the name is not sure. There's some people said his name is this, but it's not true. So we don't care about the name, we care about the story. That man came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once and said, Ya Rasulullah, ask Allah for me to be rich. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him the meaning of what he said, that very little you can control, better than a lot you cannot control. So he did not say anything. Later on, again he came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, call Allah for me to be rich. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated the same thing to him. Very little you can control, better than a lot that you cannot control. So he stopped talking. Later on, he came again the third time, and he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask Allah for him to be rich. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hand and asked Allah to make this person rich. And that happened to them. The man started to work on cattle, sheep, cows, camels, so on. And subhanAllah, it was becoming so much and so much that he had to stop praying with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his masjid, because he had to go outside of Medina with these cattle to find a place for food. So he was only praying Jumu'ah Salah only. Later on, he didn't have to pray even Jumu'ah Salah with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he's too busy to come, because there are a lot of cattle in there, a lot of sheep, a lot of camels and so on. Later on, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent one of his Sahaba to gather zakah from all people around. So they came to this man and they said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling you to pay your zakah. How much is it? It's this much. He said, okay, fine. Go for the others and come back. Lift me the last one. That's why when you come back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they went to the other places, or other people, to gather zakah. Then, when they came back to pass by, to take the zakat of this man, he already calculated how much is that. Oh, lots of camels, lots of sheep. Ishada, too much. So he rejected to pay zakat. And he said, tell your messenger, A'udhu Billah, he did not say Rasulullah, he said, tell your messenger that this is jizya, not zakah. I'll not pay. A'udhu Billah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended in Surah At-Tawbah, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ بِمَا أَخْلَفُوا اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ. أعوذ بالله من غضب الله. So not only to be patient when tragedy is there, not only to be satisfied, but even to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if Allah takes some of your money, or some of your children, or some of your health, or some of your sight or earring or whatever it is, make sure that this is good for you. Because Allah, what He does subhanahu wa ta'ala, is good for us. So we should be happy with that and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Who can do this? Not very much people. Hopefully you are, inshallah, of this. But we have to put it in mind that although we did not feel so happy to lose our good things, but we will be happy when we remember that this is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who knows better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created us, and He knows what's the best for us. Khiyaratullah. Khiyaratullah means what Allah chooses for you. It's better than what you choose for yourself. That's for sure. For sure, we have to put this in mind as a creed in our heart, that what Allah chooses for us is better than what we choose for ourselves. Maybe we'll choose to be rich, but Allah chooses for us to be poor or middle people, which is better for us. Because maybe if we are rich, we will be worse than that guy who refused to pay zakah, na'udhu billah. I remember a story happened in here in Riyadh. And one of my relatives, also, old man, in the beginning of his life, he was a regular person. Yani, not so poor, but he's not rich, of course. Then, subhanAllah, for something Allah Ta'ala wanted. That guy, of course, in that time, he was, mashallah, always in the masjid, and he goes to sheikhs, and he asks questions about Islam, and this and that. Later on, he started to work on the real estate. That was about 30 years ago, when the real estate jumped in Riyadh. The guy started to buy a lot of lands around. Then he sold them with a lot of duplication, a lot of money, a lot of millions. His wife is one of my relatives also. She was telling me that he cannot sleep at night. He is always dreaming. Oh, this is high. Subhanallah. Even in sleeping, he cannot sleep. He's dreaming about these lands and real estate he's having, and he wants to sell this, he doesn't want to sell this, and he was starting to lose some of Salah al Jama'ah, and he was too busy with these people to sell and buy, going to this land, and subhanAllah al-Azim. And his mind was too busy to think of other things, too busy to think of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's thinking only of these things. So, what is good for him? To be poor or rich? We poor. SubhanAllah. So we do, are not supposed to jump for things that bad for us. Allah knows. Whatever comes from Allah to us, we should accept it. Doesn't mean, yeah, khalas, stay at masjid, don't think of anything, don't go for work, don't have salary, don't have this. No, this is not the case. Allah told us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا. Work in life. But put in mind that working in life should be as much as you need to stay in this life. And working for the last day is on how much you stay in there. How much you stay in Jannah? Inshallah forever. Inshallah. How much you stay for the dunya? 100 years? 200 years? No problem. Take 500 years. Now compare 500 years to this unendable life in Jannah. So work for dunya, the much you are going to live in it. And work for akhirah, the much you are going to stay in it. Don't stay at home, don't stay at the masjid, this is not the way. وَرَهْبَانِيَّةٍ ابْتَدَعُوهَا. The Christians, they made these monasteries to run away from life and stay there just to worship. This is wrong. وَرَهْبَانِيَّةٍ ابْتَدَعُوهَا. مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِ. Subhanallah. In Islam there is no rahbaniyah. We have to pray, we have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to work for dunya also. And working for dunya also part of our deen. Part of our ibadah. If a person goes to gain halal money for himself and for his children, this is ibadah. If he is working on halal place, of course, not in the haram place. Yani, some of these strange jokes, we always hear that some bad ladies, they say, we are making worshipping by doing bad things. When they ask them how, they say, we work. And working is ibadah. So we are making ibadah. Subhanallah al-Azim. Strange understanding. A Muslim who is working from 7 o'clock to 4 o'clock as an example, or 5 o'clock in the evening, trying to gain halal money for himself, for his children, his wife, and his people, and his family, and also to give sadaqah for the poor, he is in ibadah. He is in worship. So that's why deen Islam is the best deen. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَيُقْبَلَ مَنْ. What is the result, or at least one result of this, that the heart of the mu'min is calm, happy, even if he is receiving tragedies. Even if he is receiving tragedies, he is happy, he is relaxing, his heart is relaxing, he is not feeling bad, he is not trying to assassinate or trying to suicide himself. No way. Never to do this. Why? Because why is it to himself? Alhamdulillah. Whatever comes from Allah is accepted. Even if I lose my money or you lose your money or your children and so on, this is from Allah. Alhamdulillah. Yes. Tragedies is accepted wherever they are because they are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have this understanding and this way of treating qadr, then we are in the best shape. طيب, what if a person say, I will not be happy with qadr? I will be so angry with qadr.
We will tell him that what you are doing is you are hurting yourself. You are not hurting Qadr at all. Qadr will not be changed. Yani, if a person says, why this happened to me? Why me, as they call it? Yani, maybe you see this sentence, why me? If he says this, if he shouts all around, is he going to change Qadr? No. Qadr is Qadr. Tragedy is happening, whether he likes it or not. So it's better to deal with the tragedy the correct way. Instead of losing everything, losing the money and losing the ajr also, why don't we get at least the ajr? By accepting this qadr, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever happened to us. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Whatever comes to me, alhamdulillah. And I always, as we said, you know, a Muslim should be, or two Muslims should always believe that what comes from Allah is the best. Even if we think by our mind that this is bad for us. No. Allah knows. Allah knows better. He knows that having extra money will hurt us, or having extra children will hurt us, or having extra fame will hurt us. So He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, make qadr of these tragedies on us so we will be back to be in the right place. So whatever makes. That's why Muhammad Hassan said about the qadr, وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ. Bad things is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah makes the qadr, but the qadr itself by itself is good. Even if tragedies or bad things as we may understand or may think. So alhamdulillah that the mu'min and believers, they know how to deal with the qadr. And they live happily. Go and see the kafirs, how they deal with qadr. They reach the point that when their cat dies, when their pet dies, they suicide. When his girlfriend run away from him, he suicide. When he loses some of the money, he jump in the river, and so on. Because he has no understanding that what comes from Allah is the best. Alhamdulillah, that Muslims, mu'mins, they know how to deal with qadr in these cases. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all true mu'mins, true believers, accepting what comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum ya arhamar rahimin. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram, arhamna bi rahmatik. Allahumma raddina bima qadayta lana ya hayyu ya qayyum. Allahumma ja'alna minal muttaqin. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram, sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And if you have any questions, I'll be listening to you inshaAllah. Since that Qadr we have cleared it all, and no need no more questions. Then next week, inshallah, we'll talk about something else. Yes.
Did Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say
Qadr? No. A strange question actually in here is, did Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ever in his life pay zakah? No. Why? Why Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not pay any zakah? Who can know? Who can tell? Didn't have enough money. He did not have nisab. Nisab is what the certain amount of money then the zakah will be applied. He never had this money. He never had this much of money. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes lives with hunger. A lot of times, lots of times. Why? Because he's too busy to think of dunya. Salawat Rabbi wa. He was so anxious to save us from hellfire. His duty, his life, all of his thinking is about us, about his ummah. Allahumma ummati ummati. That was his dua sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was only thinking of those people who are really running to hellfire, and he's trying to stop them from falling into hellfire. Although they have hurted him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and called him bad names. All these Qurayshis in the beginning who have really treated him badly, by calling him bad names, crazy, whatever call him these names. Some of them have spit in his face, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of them have put dirty things on his back while he was in sujood. Still, he is calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hidayah for them. He was too busy to think of gaining money and be rich. He has 8 palaces. Palace, you know palace? 8, 9 palaces beside them. Each palace is 2 meters, 2 meters. That is palace of Allah. One room for each wife. That's it. Salawat Rabbi Yusuf. Now, something else. Huh?
Subhanallah al-Azim. Why don't we try to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his life? So we will be happy like him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we will meet him in the judgment day. We'll drink from his house, which is filled by Al-Kawthar, the river of Al-Kawthar from Jannah to his house sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, brother. Okay, the case of zakah mentioned in the Quran that there are 8 people who deserve zakah. إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين والمساكين والعاملين عليها والمؤلفة قلوبهم في الرقاب والغارمين وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل. فقير and miskin. فقير who has less than half of his needs. يعني if he needs every month 1,000 riyal to feed him and feed his family and find a place for him to live. If he needs 1,000 riyal and his salary is only 499, then he's a poor guy and he deserves zakah. If he is earning 700 riyals, he's a miskin and he still deserves zakah. If he earns 1,000 riyal, he is not deserving zakah. Unless he is having, of course, debit and other things. But for the case of faqir and miskin, there is a difference in here, as you see. Faqir who has less than half of his needs. Miskin who has more than the half but not complete of his needs. Say if we say that 1,000 riyal will be enough for him and his family every month and his salary is 700 riyal. What is he now? Poor or miskin? Miskin. He's not a poor guy, he's a miskin. Faqir who has if his salary is 499 or less, then he is faqir. Both of them of course deserve zakah. Oh, that, this hadith is really scaring us. By the way, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the one who narrated the hadith, when he starts to say this hadith, he falls on his face. He falls on his face. He loses consciousness because of this hadith. The hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for Allah الذي لا إله إلا هو. The end of the hadith is so long. إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلْ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى مَا يَبْقَى بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعٍ فَيَسْبِقْ عَلَى الْكِتَابِ فَيَعْمَلْ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلَهَا. The meaning of this, or the summary of the explanation of this, is that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is swearing that some of us, they will work as Jannah people in this life. Good Muslims. And before their death, for a limited time, they flip up to be kafirs, and they die kafirs, and they go to hellfire. La ilaha illallah. And also vice versa, part of the hadith, with the end of the hadith, and some of the people will be working like hellfire people. Yeah, and they are going to hell if they are like this. But before they die, like dira' or shibr, that's for a limited time before his death, he become a Muslim, and he dies as a Muslim, and he goes to Jannah. طيب, what is this? Some people say, يعني, how is this? Is this fair that a person who stays all his life praying and doing what Allah told him to do, then he die, before he dies, he's flipped up? This is qadr, isn't it? This is qadr, yes. But there's another hadith to explain this, which has, فِيمَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ as he will see. Ah, so he's doing the Jannah deeds, he's doing good things. That people they see, but what's in his heart? Something else. Something else. He prays with Jama'ah and he say good things, this, but that's only in front of people. But what is in his heart is a kafir. You know the hypocrites in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul, the leader of hypocrites. That guy was praying with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's better than us. Then after this case, he's praying with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's fasting with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's going to jihad with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, he's paying his zakat to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah. He made hajj with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Shaykh, how is this? And he
died to hellfire. Not in only hellfire, in the bottom level of hellfire. في الدرك الأسفل من النار. In front of people, he is a good Muslim. For us, we human beings, we think that he is a good Muslim. But inside his heart, there is hypocrisy. There is hatred of some of the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A Muslim who is praying with Jama'ah and everything, but inside he hates Allah, or hates Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or hates some of the deen. Even if he practices, he is a hypocrite. Major hypocrisy. Doctrinal hypocrisy. And if he dies like this without repenting, he is in hellfire. So don't take this hadith alone. As we said before, you know, when you want to understand Quran and Sunnah, if you are talking about a case, take whatever hadith and ayah talking about the same case and understand them together. Otherwise, we will misunderstand the Quran and Sunnah. As an example we gave before, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the correct hadith in Bukhari, he said, "Man qala la ilaha illa Allah dakhala jannah." So just to say la ilaha illa Allah, no need for prayer, no need for fasting, no, don't do anything. Just say la ilaha illa Allah and kill Muslims and help kafirin against Muslims and drink alcohol and go for magic and for shirk and everything. No problem. La, كيف هذا? Just to say la ilaha illa Allah is enough. No, it's enough. This is one hadith. There is another hadith, another hadith. All you gather all these hadith, you will understand that he is saying that you have to believe this and this, not only to say, but also to by heart, but also hating the enemies of Allah, but also to. So there is, if you gather all these hadith about La ilaha illallah, you will find that he is giving you a restricted way to be a Muslim, not only to say La ilaha illallah. Shaitan say La ilaha illallah, Iblis say La ilaha illallah. And he knows Allah better than us, and he prayed more than us. But he is the leader of kafirin in Jahannam. Jazakumullah khair. Any questions? Then, Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah. See you inshallah next week.